Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning as we continue our study on the long arms of worldliness. Glad for your presence this morning. We have a few visitors here with us this morning. We're in a study on worldliness. We began that in December. And normally what we do when we first begin is go through review. So we'll go through some review questions, and I'll call on the class to answer these questions. So we'll start with the first question. And Todd, maybe you can, what we'll do on this one here, this is a long question. And so what we'll do, we'll break it up into two parts. And this first question is, list the 10 principles, determine whether whether something is right or wrong and is associated scripture. So we're going to just ask you to do five, Todd, and then we'll have another person do the next five and also provide the scriptures, if you would.
Okay. One, is it sinful? Two, is it doubtful? Three, is it a stumbling block? Four, does it stir lust? Five, does it involve associations that lead to sin?
Okay. Very good. So we mentioned why we're studying these 10 principles. In life, sometimes we have some difficult choices to make. And before we get into the different facets of worldliness, we said we'll look at these 10 principles. And so Todd listed the first five there. And the associated scriptures there are kind of shown on the screen. Hopefully you have those in your notes. One thing I'm encouraging you to do is, you know, we're doing all these markings, and I'm asking you, we had pre-reading, we're going over these scriptures, we read them in class, and the whole purpose of doing all that is to ingrain these scriptures in your mind. And so hopefully, when you see these scriptures, you know, they'll bring things to your mind. So let's just quickly go through some of these scriptures here. Todd mentioned, is it sinful? We had Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 through 29. Remember, that section of text there is talking about how the flesh is against the spirit, they're in opposition to one another. And of course, we said what the spirit is walking according to the spirit. Flesh is the world is walking according to the world. They're in opposition. And then there's a list of sins. You remember, it starts out these, the deeds of the flesh. And first of all, it starts with sensuality. Well, it starts with immorality and the impurity, and another sexual sin. And then it continues. Just not deeds of the carnal flesh, but deeds that anyone do. It talks about anger, wrath, idolatry. So those are the things we ask, is it sinful? Well, here's a whole list of things we're not to do. But also remember here in this section of text, not only does it have the negative, it also has the positive. It goes on and says we're to walk by the Spirit. So this is the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy. So a good set of scriptures here to remember about, is it sinful? And then two very familiar scriptures, so 1 John 3:4 and 5:17, talking about sin. You remember John, verse 3:4 says, whoever practice, whoever practice unlawlessness, it practices sin. Sin is unlawlessness. Is lawlessness not unlaw? Is lawlessness, and so that's a good scripture kind of define what sin is. And then 1 John 5:17 talks about whoever all unrighteousness is sin. Again, some scriptures talking about, you know, sin and what it is. Then is it doubtful? Two key scriptures in Romans. Remember these. Romans 2:15 talks about the conscience. What is the function of the conscience? Either accuses or defends us. That's what Romans 2:15 talks about. And then the one that gets to this point, is it doubtful? Romans 14:23. It talks about there in that verse, whoever is condemned, whoever eats. And there it's talking about eating meat to idols. And here a person back, you know, the situation you remember is that some Christians thought it was wrong to eat meats sacrificed to idols, and it was bothering them. It says, whoever is condemned, whoever eats. And this scripture text tells us is that, you know, if it's doubtful, it's sin. It goes on in that scripture to talk about whatever is not of faith is sin. And this faith is not the faith, but it's what you believe is right or wrong. And so the important message here is we're not to violate our conscience. It's actually sin. And we talked about, when we talked about these verses, how important God put the conscience in every man and woman. And we're not to harden the conscience. We're not to sear it. And, you know, when we live our lives, if something bothers our conscience, we need to respond to it. You know, act upon it. If something's bothering, don't do it. If it encourages to do something, it's something we need to do. And, of course, we always need to make sure that whatever we believe is grounded in truth. And if something's bothering, we think it's wrong, well, how do we know whether something's wrong or not wrong or right? Well, we go to Scripture and find out. So a very key principle is a doubtful. Then we say there's a stumbling block, Matthew 18:5-7. Remember, Jesus was gathered with his disciples. Remember, he's talking about these little ones, these people who believe in him. He says, whoever causes these little ones to stumble, woe to them. Remember, he says it's worse than to have a millstone wrapped around your neck than to have one of these little ones to stumble. So we need to be very careful that we don't put stumbling blocks in front of our brethren. And so we made the point that, well, how do you know what their stumbling blocks if you don't know them? And so we made a mention, both is it doubtful and is it the stumbling block, is we need to know our brethren. Number four, does it stir lust? Romans 13:13-14. Remember there, it says, we talked about that, I think, a couple class periods ago. Make no provision for the flesh. And we talked about some practical applications about that. And then does it involve associations that lead, associations, people associations? Look at all these verses there in Proverbs about the friendships we have. And the point, of course, we know that, you know, evil companions is going to corrupt good morals, as 1 Corinthians 15:33 says. Okay, let's go on now to the next five principles. Let me ask Elizabeth if you could do the next five.
Is it honorable? Have you put Christ first? Is it an act of love? Is it lawful? Does it cause you to have a share in what is sinful?
Okay. And on the screen there are the associated scriptures. Is it lawful? The number nine, and again we mentioned that has to do with civil law. You know, all these things we're talking about, like the first one, you know, is it sinful? It's according to the law. We made mention that is referring to this. We're using that as civil law. And again, another set of scriptures. We find a lot of these scriptures there in Romans, if you notice that. And we know the last part of Romans is a practical application. A lot of good admonitions in Romans. Is it honorable? It says respect what is right in the sight of all men. And then we also looked at 1 Corinthians. Have you put Christ first? You know, we've read about Paul, how he considered everything but rubbish in order to gain Christ. And then Jesus said there, some of them out, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Okay, is it an act of law? Number nine, is it civil? Remember in 1 Peter 2, it says submit to every human institution. That includes all human institutions. And the last one, we talked about this on our last class period. Does it cause one to share in what is sinful? And we talked about there, like, those scriptures talk about eating the Lord's Supper. That when we, and those verses say that, you know, when we eat the bread, we share in the body of Christ. When we drink the cup, we share in his blood. So when we gather together, there's a sharing going on. And the point, it goes on to say that if the people during that time, if they were to eat in a idol's temple, and there was meat offered to demons on that altar, you are sharing in the demons, even though you may not believe in idols, by you being in that group, and that group kind of declaring that they believe in demons, you're sharing in that. So the point of this last principle is be careful of the associations, the groups that we're with, and what does it connote? And so that was the last principle. Okay. Let's go on now to some other review questions. Okay, let's do number 18. Let me ask Sandra, can you do number 18? This one, I think, was one on honesty. It says, what contrast do we see between God and the devil in these scriptures? Deuteronomy 7:9 and John 8:44.
God is faithful, keeps his covenant, and has loving kindness, and the devil is a murderer and a father of lies.
Right. You remember in Deuteronomy 7:9, this is where Moses is with the people before they cross over into the promised land. Long address. They talk about how God is faithful. He keeps his commandments. And you also recall that, of course, there he says it's conditional. If you love him and keep his commandments. And then John 8:44, talking about the devil, how he's a liar and is deceitful. Okay, go on to question number 19. Let me ask John Whitehead on number 19. According to John 8:39 and John 8:42, what two things does a child of God do? Right. You have a second one?
To love God.
Oh, to love God. Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that. Right, exactly. Those are the two ones. You could actually make a few more there, but those are the two ones we talked about in class. All right, let's go on to question number 14. Let me ask Craig Moore on number 14. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 19, question 14, who molded these people's way of life when they were of the world, and why did they do this?
Their forefathers. It's inherited or tradition.
Right. Okay. And now question number 15. Let's just go through that in class. In 1 Peter 1, 14 through 19 is kind of a follow to the previous one. What is to be the norm of their lives? And as you've... it says, be holy, as written by the Holy One, there in verses 15 through 16. Okay, appreciate you working on the review. Continue to work on that. And it's very, very helpful. Remember, one of our class objectives here is to have all these questions answered on the review. So please, please work on that. Okay, so let's kind of see where we're at in the class. When we began the class, of course, we had an introductory class. We had a couple classes talking about not of the world. Okay, and then we finished a couple of classes on these 10 principles of right and wrong. And then we began this first arm that we started on Wednesday night on dishonesty. And we talked about, you says, what's the point about the octopus? Why, you know, and I think I talked about this in the first class, but to recall your memory, I mentioned that the devil is described in the Bible in various ways. He's described as a serpent. He's described as a lion. I've used the octopus here to signify his influence. He's got long arms. And you remember we talked about that an octopus has these long arms and has these suction cups, smaller suction cups on the end, and they get bigger. And of course, you know what octopus tries to do? It tries to snatch its prey with that first suction cup and then reel that prey in. And the reason why I'm using this image here is that I think it's how Satan works with worldliness. He tries to get us to start with something small. We're talking here about honesty. Well, maybe he'll start we'll start doing these little white lies. So maybe he's kind of got us hold on at the very end. But he doesn't want to stop there, right? He wants us to get more lying, more sins, and so forth. So he's kind of trying to reel us in. So we're starting on dishonesty. And in the next class we're going to do one on materialism, a couple of class periods on that. And this is not necessarily in order. Then we're going to do drinking, then drug abuse, then we're going to do occultism, and then idolatry, dress, and then our last class will be on sensuality. And I think I may mention, this is not all the ways Satan works. There are other areas of worldliness, like pride and other things. But for our class period, these are the ones that we're covering. Okay, so for our visitors, we're on page 30 of your handout that I gave you. What we covered on Wednesday night when we started this class on this subject on dishonesty, we gave a definition of what dishonesty was. Remember, what we did is we used what honesty is, and we said dishonesty is just the opposite of that. And then we went through this part about whose child are you? And we made the point that, you know, if you're in the Bible, we find God's attribute that he's faithful. He's truth-worthy. Everything he says, you can trust. And then the opposite, of course, is the devil. And then we have some various exhortations and examples. I don't think we actually got to examples, but that's what we're going to start here this morning. So what we've done here is we're going to look at various examples of dishonesty that we have in the Bible. And, you know, the Holy Spirit does everything for a purpose. And we have a lot of examples. And you're going to see some of these examples here are pretty notable men. You would say these are men of faith. These are you know, very important men in the Bible. But you're going to find that if you've done the lesson, or if you haven't, you'll see in a moment here that they have at times displayed times of dishonesty. So let's go through the first one here. And what I asked you to do here is to mark who the person was that was dishonest, And then underlined in the same color, their act of dishonesty. So the first one is in Genesis 4:9. And if you mark that, of course, you know that that was Cain. And what did he do here? He says, I do not know. God asked him, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. So you see here very clearly, right on the outset, at the very beginning of our Bible, here we have Cain lying. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Cain did not know that God would know what he did? Do you think? Can you imagine a person going to God and saying that he didn't know? You know, if you did something, God would not know it. What do you think was going through through Cain's mind that you know, he's lying directly to God, the being that knows all things? How can he do something like that? When he right away says, "Okay, I murdered my brother," but he doesn't do that. You can see he says, "I do not know." One thing about sin that you can see is sin can be very blinding. People get involved in sin. You maybe have noticed some brethren that maybe got involved with sin or other people, and you see that they don't see clearly. They do things that you say, don't you see what you're doing? What's going on? So maybe this was the point about Cain, that he was just simply blinded by his sin, and sin will do that. And you will note here as kind of a side point to Cain, we talked about this some time ago when we had a class on Jude. In Jude, it talks about the way of Cain. You know, not just talking about he killed his brother. He talks about the way of Cain. And you know, here in this particular point, you know, Cain was guilty of many things, right? He had anger. He had jealousy. He had murder. Here you have lying. The way of Cain, a whole life of sin. And sin will do that. You get involved with sin, and it just keeps multiplying. And another level of sin, another act of sin. But here you find Cain, you know, lying to God directly. So note that. And of course, the Holy Spirit's putting that for us to, you know, to see that. Now we go to this, to a man. You know, of the last person you would think about that would lie is the man Abraham. If you did the markings here, there's actually two markings here. I don't know why I had these markings are not in the order that I wanted them. But you have Abraham, a lion, here in two places. The first one is in Genesis 12:13, and what he did is he's going into Egypt because of a famine. And Abraham reasoned in his mind, if you recall the story, you know, his wife was a very beautiful woman. And he thought that going into Egypt, Pharaoh would kill him to take his wife. So he said, well, he thought to himself, well, all I'm going to do is instead of being my wife, I'm going to tell the king, the Pharaoh, that she's my sister, okay? So here you have Abraham, a man of faith. He is extolled in Romans chapter 5, you know, of his faith. And, you know, we look to Abraham. What a man of faith and who he is. But look what he did. He is lying here to Pharaoh, calling his wife his sister. Now, you think that would be bad enough, but that's not the first time. He did it again later on in Genesis chapter 20. To another king, King Gerar, he did the same thing. Same thing, kind of almost for the same reason. Sarah, she's my sister. Of course, it's his wife. So, you know, we mentioned when we began this particular study, you know, of all the different facets of worldliness that we're studying, dishonesty may be the one for, you know, that we might have the might be the most issue. We definitely have these men of faith here lying about it. And in the case of Abraham, not once, but twice. Okay, and the next one, we go now to Genesis chapter 27. And who was it? Again, Jacob. You remember the story here, Isaac is giving away his blessings. Esau was to get his blessings because he was the older son. And of course, Jacob in conspiracy with his mother, What did Jacob say to his father? He says, I am Esau, your firstborn. Okay? Now, who was Jacob, right? His other name was Israel. He was to be the father of the nation. His 12 sons become the 12 tribes. And, you know, it's not just a lie. You know, it was conspiracy. You're familiar with the story. What do we have these examples here for but not to learn from them? And we read them, they're interesting stories, but, you know, they're to teach us something that, you know, we can lie. We've got to be very careful about it. Of course, the next one we know is about David. And, you know, and what his issue was active dishonesty. And here for Uriah, remember, he made him drunk. Of course, we know the story. When Uriah came back from battle, David told Uriah, you know, she was already, Bathsheba was already pregnant. And so David is trying to justify his action. And so when Uriah comes back from battle, her her husband, he says, go to your house. He didn't go to his house because he, you know, he felt bad because of battle. So what is David doing on his second try? He's getting him drunk, act of dishonesty. And what is David trying to do, right? He's trying to get, you know, the nation and for him to see that, you know, that she was pregnant from Uriah and not David. So another act of dishonesty. And here, who do we call David? A man after God's own heart. What do we think about David? You know, a man of faith and Christ was being, you know, his son. So tremendous permanence on David, but yet look what he did. Okay, and then in the New Testament we have this lawyer he was testing Jesus. He says he's wishing to justify himself. This was in the story of the Samaritan. Jesus goes on and tells him about that. And so the examples just keep on multiplying. We go on now to Acts chapter 5. And we mention Acts chapter 5, and right away we know who we're talking about there. The first part about Ananias and Sapphira. And, of course, what their act of dishonesty was, they lied to the Holy Spirit to keep back some of the price of the land. You know, here they're going to do a good deed, right? They're going to provide funds, you know, for the brethren. They sell some land. And what do they do is, they kept some of it. But evidently, the lie was, as they said, we've given it all. Actually, they kept back some part of it. Of course, the Holy Spirit could not be filled, and evidently enlightened Peter that they have lied, both of them. And, of course, we know the consequences of their action. So you see all through here the point about, you know, God having these examples. You know, he wants us to be honest. He wants us, you know, to speak truth. And we have these examples here for us, for our learning. Then in James chapter 5, verse 4, the writer is talking to the rich in this particular chapter at the very beginning. And their act of dishonesty was that they were not paying their laborers who worked for them. They withheld their wages. And so, again, another act of dishonesty. So the question for us here is, you know, we have these examples, but what about in your own lives? We need to examine that, you know, we always are completely honest with other people, honest to ourselves. You know, of course, God knows whether we're going to be dishonest. And sometimes this may be an area where maybe it's hard. Maybe there's kind of shades of dishonesty that we might say is okay. But I think the scripture is pretty clear. We need to be honest. I mentioned to you, I'll just share with you one example. When I look at these scriptures here about honesty and then kind of doing an application to my life, sometimes I know in my personal family, there might be something that will be bothering me. You know, I'm kind of troubled about something. And my wife will say, well, what's troubling you? I said, nothing. And I know something's troubling me. You know, I mean, there's some of these small things. Well, that's not serious. Maybe for some reason I didn't tell her. Well, I just didn't want to tell her, but I lied, right? She says, what's wrong with you? Nothing. You sometimes people say, well, how are you feeling? I'm feeling okay. But you're not really feeling okay. She says, well, that's minor. I don't want to upset them. You know, what is honesty is being truthful. So some of these little things I'm asking you to think about. What is honesty? Is not being deceitful. Is being honest. If you don't want to tell someone how you feel, you're going to hurt them. We'll say, well, I'd rather not say, or, you know, tell something truthful, but don't say something that's a lie that you know that's a lie. I do that sometimes more often than I should, maybe for other reasons, but, you know, maybe I don't want to get into it. You know, I want to delay it. I says, well, then I'll talk to you later about it. Something is bothering me, but I don't want to tell you right now. We need to be truthful. Sister Juanita, you had a comment?
Even Peter lied.
Right. Sure did. Okay, so now the next one we look at, why do people cheat and act dishonestly? And a lot of these scriptures we're going to look at here are not only limited to dishonesty, but you could apply it to many other sins. You know, what is the motive behind it? Some of these scriptures we've already talked about. I'm not going to read them. We've read 1 Peter chapter 4, 3 through 4, and 12 through 19, I think, several times. But if you recall that scripture, what is it in these scriptures that you see that why do people act dishonest? And if you did the markings there, down toward the bottom of verse 4, he says, you know, this is, remember this verse talking about how they used to be, they used to walk like the Gentiles, but now they're Christians, they're following God's will. And now look what it says here. You do not run with them like you used to, you know, involved with their sin. And what do? Then they kind of turn around you and malign you. We talked about this scripture before. So here is what the motive behind that. You can see what it is. It is peer pressure. And, you know, we do have peer pressure. It might be family members who may be not in Christians. It may be neighbors, people at work. You know, that happens. And so that is a motive behind why we may act dishonestly. Do you notice in some of these examples that we looked at that we just read about examples, in many cases the people were kind of in pressure situations. You know, something was at stake. Maybe they thought their life was at stake, or you know, here David, you know, Bathsheba was pregnant. He had to, you know, here he's the leader. People are going to find out. You know, there's something's happening here of a serious nature that they start bending the truth. And so, you know, when things like that happen, there's pressure, and we might get pressure from people. And, you know, it may cause us to act dishonestly. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Again, if you did the markings there. Here they find, it says, you know, the Ephesians, they were of the world. It says here, you were formerly walked according to the course of the world. And, of course, it continues going on. And then down there he says, you all formerly lived. And so that's how they used to live. And, you know, why were they doing that? Well, the first part of verse 2 talks about that they walked according to the course of the world. And so, you know, here the motive behind that was the way society was. That was the world. They walked according to the world. It's how the world acted. They acted immorality. They worshiped idols. They were immoral. And that's how the Ephesians were. And of course, they've changed that. And so, you know, this is the thing that we face, right? We're in the world. This stuff is all around us. And so, do we adopt to society? Hopefully we don't. But again, society has influence on us. And so it's to recognize this influence and not get us to mold our lives. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. There, you find that you did the markings with the motive behind it is in verse 19. It says, for many walk, and why are they walking it? It says, whose God is their appetite, and who set their mind on earthly things. And so the motive behind this one here is that their appetite, their lust, something, things that they enjoy to do, even though they were not right. You know, they just satisfy whatever their desires was, not thinking about, you know, God's law. And so, you know, sometimes our wants, our lust, our desires, you know, get in our way and get us to do things that we ought not to do. Well, who is our God? Hopefully it's the God of the Bible and not the God of our appetite. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Here we just read this one here. He says, "What this lawyer? What was he trying to do? He was trying to justify himself. Of course, he was testing Jesus, but possibly pride was involved here. You know, he thought something was something, and you know, Jesus was telling him something different, so he didn't want to change." And the last one, actually, we got some more. I think after this one, Romans 6:4. You find throughout the New Testament, sometimes you find this phrase, or you do not know, you know, and that's a good admonition to us. We know the Bible. We know these truths. We do something wrong. Do we not know? And here Paul talking to the Christians here in Rome, he says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? And so here's one about knowledge, ignorance. either intentionally or unintentionally, but lack of thoughts. So not applying things that we know. And this, of course, many times we find this phrase that the writers of the New Testament use, and even in the Old Testament. You know these things. Well, what are you doing? When our life gets astray, you know, we know these things. We ought to get back right on track. Okay, so let's. Those are some motives, and maybe there are some other ones, but these are the ones that we had for our lesson this morning. Okay, the next part of exercise here is actually a real simple exercise, and I, you know, it's an easy thing. I asked you to fill in the blanks here, different verses here in the Bible talking about being honest. And of course, they're easy. You just look up the scripture here. The first one is in Luke 8:15. It says, "The word of the Lord can germinate and bear fruit only in a what? In an honest and good heart." Remember, this is the parable of the four soils. And this last one is describing the good soil. And you notice that the two parts to this thing is a good and honest heart. And again, this is talking about, you know, our will, what we believe, you know, how we respond to things. You know, we need to keep our hearts and our conscience good and honest. And that's the kind of heart that God desires. Okay, next one. And again, these are all pretty easy. Children of light. It says, "Children of light, walk in goodness, righteousness, and truth." Sometimes the word truth, we're going to see here, might refer to being honest, trustworthy. Sometimes the word truth is used for the word of God. Next one here, but in Ephesians, it's all talking about being honest. It's the walk of life. You know, say lay falsehood. We talked about this one earlier. Lay aside falsehood and speak truth. Again, interesting here, writing to Christians, you know, and he says, well, we should know that. Yes, we should know that, but do we practice it? You know, Paul in Ephesians, you know, telling them this is the walk they should have, be truthful. And the last one, well, not the last one, it says, have gird your loins with truth. Now, here, truth is a little bit different. It's talking about God's word. Remember, this is the section you're talking about, the armament that we're to put on. Remember, that talks about the sword being the sword of the Spirit. And this is the truth it's talking about, you know, God's truth, His word. And then a few more. Says, walk in truth. Okay. Fellow works with the truth. Here's God's word again. The last, number seven, you're a steward. You're to be found trustworthy. And the last one, our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. So again, some simple things, but to help us to think about, you know, being honest and being trustworthy. Okay, so now what I want to do here for the remainder of our class is, you all been pretty quiet, and that was okay. I wanted to kind of get to this last part here, really talking about applications. Okay, so now let's talk about some applications about these things that we talked about and look at some specific examples. I know we have Austin here, and James is going to college, and you know, maybe your children are going to college. Think about things about, these are really a list of things for students, different forms of classroom cheating. And these things can have application in our own lives, but here's one is if you're doing a paper and or you have some exercise, and it says, you know, read such and such things. You have this outside reading. Well, you have this outside reading. He says, well, that's a lot of work I got to do, take a lot of time. But do you do the outside reading, or do you report and say, well, I did the reading, but you really did not? What about turning in work that one has copied from another? You know, maybe a friend has finished the work and you're having some difficulty. You say, well, I just don't want to tackle this thing. I'll just go ahead and copy it. A lot of examples here about classroom cheating. Changing answers on papers when grading class. Sometimes, as you know, when maybe you were in school, you graded other people's papers, or maybe you graded your own. And you say, well, I'll just change that. It's close, you know. A lot of areas here having to do with classroom cheating. Getting answers from someone else or giving them someone else's exam. doing a report and for someone else and then represent it as your own work. But let's look at some of the things about maybe our day-to-day activities. And some of these things may be applicable to you. Maybe they're not. For those who are in business, who make sales or are involved in, you know, do you overcharge for services or goods? You know, that's an act of dishonesty. We see dishonesty all around us, right? We talked about this, I think, when we started this class, about all the political officials. Look how dishonesty they are and the corruption. You know, how many scandals do we hear over and over again, either in the news or read it in the paper? And I think we made the point some time ago that, you know, are we becoming insensitized to that? Do we say, well, that's really bad, why are they doing that? Or it just happens so often, we just say, well, that's officials, and you'll be government officials, and they're going to be crooked, and just accept it. Remember one of our verses we talked about abhorring evil. You know, this is evil when public officials are doing, you know, robbing funds, doing things that are not right. And we should not stand by and say, well, that's okay, or that's just what they're going to do. You know, we need to you know, respond appropriately whenever the action. Lotion, did you have a comment? Okay, that's a good example, and such an appropriate example here for this time of the year when, you know, what do you tell your kids, you know, about Santa Claus, you know, and, you know, all the stories here, you know, well, it's the season, you know, it's a merry time, you know, but, you know, tell the truth, and so the holiday season is kind of one where a lot of parents are lying to the kids, you know, even when they're young, says, well, it's just young, it doesn't make any difference, and then they start believing in Santa Claus, and then you guys tell, well, you used to tell me, Mom or Daddy, you used to tell me about Santa Claus. Was that not truthful? Well, of course it wasn't. So I have here cheating by welfare recipients. Of course, we see a lot of that going on today. But here's one here that might, you know, if you're in a business also, and maybe this has happened to us, where someone sells us some materials that are not, you know, what they were told to be, you know, maybe they're used. They say, well, here's some new things, but they're actually used. Or you're given some things and you're being charged a premium price. You know, that's an act of dishonesty. What about, we're coming now up on the tax season. And this is one we got to be careful about. You know, we say, well, I'm going to be honest on my taxes. Well, let's make sure that we are, right? In all facets, right? You know, sometimes in taxes, preparing taxes, there are certain limits. You know, you reach a certain limit, then you get a tax deduction. What happens if you're just a few dollars short, you know, just near the limit? Well, maybe I had an expenditure that happened in 2012, I'll claim. Right on the borderline, you know, just get me over that. You know, just something small, you know. You know, or if it tells us that we need this form, you know, do we get that form? He says, well, I don't have the time. I'm not going to get that form, even though, you know, the requirements are to fill out this particular form. So, you know, here we have an example of coming up on tax season and to be truthful and honest in everything that we report. Okay? And then there's the question about what happens if you have something that's questionable. Well, what do you do about questionable? I don't think that's right. Should I really claim that? Isn't that your conscience working? Well, what do you do? He says, well, I'll just claim it or don't claim it. I won't check it out, you know. Something's bothering you, you just write it off. Well, then we're violating one of these principles about our conscience. Well, check it out. Make the call, send an inquiry, you know, do some searches. Is this, can I claim this particular item or not? So usually a lot of these items here, it's not just always a black and white. There's a little gray areas that we've got to be very careful about. I have here lying about age, intentions, activities, perjury, cheating at games, taken materials from the job use. This is one we all work. Most of us work, right? We have access to all these materials at work. Well, do you take pens and pencils home? Do you take memory disk home and use it for your own personal use? Now, in some cases, companies say you can use things in anomaly use. Some say, no, these are not for personal use. And the one that's always really very difficult here is sometimes they'll say you can't use your computer for personal use. So here you're at your lunchtime. And what are you doing during lunchtime? Well, I'm checking my email or I'm surfing the web. And, well, what do they tell you? I mean, and if there's some gray areas, it's always good to ask. It says, well, can I, I'm on lunch period, can I just surf the internet, not do anything illegal? Can I do that? Or do we just assume these things and just do these things when we know what the rules are? So the best thing is don't violate the conscience. Ask. And if they say, no, you can't use it, period, don't use it. So there's a lot of these areas here. I know in each of our lives we come across this all the time about being honest and being trustworthy in our relationships. And in my case, I confess to you right now, there are some areas where, I tell my wife a lie. That's something I got to work on. Sister Baird?
Some people call that a little white lie, but it just doesn't make sense. What I wrote, and it may be stupid, I wrote that we must try to do everything about telling the truth, not lying, being honest, and that we study in our lessons, because none of us pray enough, study enough, give enough, or care enough about our fellow men.
Okay. Good comments. So think about that. Anyone else have any other comments to make about forms of dishonesty, experiences like to share with the class? Anyone else? Okay, so we're a little bit early here. We've finished all the materials for today. That's good. We're kind of Stand on schedule. We've got a couple more minutes. Let me go back and talk about some things here that we talked about at our beginning class period that I want to kind of reemphasize to us. You remember when we first started the class, we had some objectives. And I said there are two most important objectives that I'd like you to accomplish that are stand above, head and shoulders about everything else. And you recall what those were? What was the most important thing? Two, I said there's two most important things in this class to do. What were those two most important things to do?
We got a short memory.
I think you'd all, pardon?
Identify worldly influences.
Right. Identify worldly influences. So, we go through all this material and we cover it, but if we come out the end and don't examine our lives, it's to identify where is it? And we shouldn't think because we're Christians, we come to church all the time, that, well, I'm innocent, I don't have no problems. We need to be conscious that we may have problems. We need to examine our life, relook at things that we practice, identify where worldliness is coming. Very, very important. What is God's word to us if we don't, start applying it? The first applied is, do we have a problem? And the second one kind of follows right with it, right? So now we got a problem, what do we do about it? We got a problem. I have this problem with dishonesty in some areas. What do I do about it? Just continue doing what I do, or do I stop and change? And so the second one was then to repent, develop a plan. Well, how am I going to stop that? Sometimes they're very easy. You just say, well, I just need to stop it. It's wrong. Tell your wife, well, I really told you these things that were not right. There was something bothering me, or yes, I'm not feeling well. And this feeling well thing, I think. A lot of the men could probably say amen to that, right? Have you ever told your wife, well, how you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling fine, but you're really not. I hear that a lot. And I see people, I see that, they come in, your face tells it, your meaner, says they're sick, they're not doing well. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. Well, that's not, be truthful, Ennis?
The tendency is to try to make small the thing with lying, but actually this is not something small. This is actually something big. So why is that? Well, I believe it's something big because it's so deceptive. It's so easy to lie. It's so easy for it to work its way into your system of behavior, it's so easy for it to get a hold on you, and you not even realize it, and before you know it, you've got a lies, cover up lies,
right.
A whole lot comes alive. Everybody's different. Everybody handles things differently. But it's probably the best to put that as a priority in life.
Make good
sure
point.
It didn't start.
It's a serious thing, and it, you know, what with the, who, you know, in the case of Abraham and David, you know, they did lie, they repented, and they got back on track. But, you know, this thing could get into be much more serious, and so very good point. Okay, well, thank you for your comments and your participation. And so on Wednesday, we'll get into lesson number 5 on materialism.